Brave Hunter and the Sea Snakes. Chapter 2. Searching for a Ship. It was very early in the morning when Brave Hunter walked downstairs. It was pitch dark and deadly quiet in the inn. All the guests were still sound asleep. The only thing to be heard was some rumbling in the kitchen. Brave Hunter walked to the kitchen and saw the innkeeper standing at the stove. He had just started a fire and was putting a kettle on it. "Good morning, innkeeper," Brave Hunter said cheerfully when he walked into the kitchen. The innkeeper turned around and answered, "A very good morning to you too, Brave Hunter." "My, you are early," Brave Hunter set himself at the kitchen table. The innkeeper set the table with two cups and two plates. Then he took a wooden breadboard and a knife from the drawer. From a cupboard he got a loaf of bread, a piece of ham, butter and sugar and put them on the table. In the meantime, the water in the kettle boiled. He took the kettle off the stove, put the water in a jar and put some leaves in it. "I want to leave for Marcillion as early as possible," Brave Hunter explained while cutting a piece of bread. "I need to find a boat that can take me to Corsica." The innkeeper pulled a worried face. "That won't be easy," he replied while pouring the tea. "Because of the pirates around the island, no merchant ship dares to go there." Brave Hunter, who had just taken a large bite of bread, wiped the crumbs from his lips with the back of his hand and sighed. "Yes, that is what the mighty sorcerer said too. He suggested that I buy a ship and hire some crew." The innkeeper stirred his cup of tea and looked dubious. "Yes, that might be the only solution," he said slowly. "But finding a trustworthy crew is quite a task too." The innkeeper scratched behind an ear. "My nephew has a pub near the harbour. Maybe he can help you with it." "I will write a letter so he will know that I've sent you," the innkeeper decided. At that moment, Peter came into the kitchen. "Good morning," Brave Hunter and the innkeeper said simultaneously. "A good morning to you both," Peter answered cheerfully. He drew up a chair and sat at a table. The innkeeper nodded towards Brave Hunter and asked Peter, "Can you saddle one of the horses for Brave Hunter to ride to Marcillion?" Peter nodded as he poured himself some tea. "Of course, I will saddle Blackie." Brave Hunter nodded contently. "Thank you very much," the innkeeper waved with his hand. "I don't need a horse today, and it will save you considerable travelling time." When the man had finished breakfast, Peter walked to the stable, and Brave Hunter walked to the reception with the innkeeper. There the innkeeper wrote a letter to his nephew. Brave Hunter put the letter in the pocket of his coat and asked the innkeeper, "Can you tell Neston that I went into town and that he must wait here for me?" The innkeeper walked Brave Hunter to the door, gave him a pat on his shoulder, and answered reassuringly, "Don't you worry. I will personally keep an eye on him." The innkeeper put out his hand and shook Brave Hunter's cheerfully. "Have a safe journey." "Thank you. See you later," replied Brave Hunter as he walked outside. Blackie took firm steps over the sandy county road. It was still quiet on the road as the dawn light strengthened. The first birds twittered in the morning dew, which hung low over the fields, spreading a fresh scent. Brave Hunter sniffed the air deeply and mumbled contently, "The early bird catches the worm." After an hour travelling, the sun had risen in the east and Brave Hunter could see a plume of smoke in the sky above the city of Marcillion in the distance. "There we have the notorious city," Brave Hunter mumbled. Not much later, he stepped into the streets on the outskirts of Marcillion. It looked sad. The small houses, which were attached to each other, were built of grey, grubby stones. Not one door or window was well painted. Even more so, you hardly could see in which colour they had been painted. Some houses even had broken doors. Here and there, curtains hung in front of the windows, but in a majority of the windows, the glass had been broken. Brave Hunter heard the screaming and yelling of babies and children. He also heard the high voices of women grumbling to their husbands. Some houses had washing lines hanging in front of the windows, which were worn out with worn-out clothes flapping in the light breeze. The gutter was full of muck and mud. Brave Hunter screwed up his nose. You could really smell the scent of decay. It was still early in the morning and quiet in the streets. Still, Brave Hunter felt uneasy in his grubby place and spurred his horse to travel faster through the suburb. After a while, the house became bigger, neater, and more beautiful, with well-kept gardens. Brave Hunter relaxed in his saddle and looked contently around him. At a certain point, he approached a big market square. There were dozens of stalls in the square, with stallholders busy decorating their stalls. There was a lot of hustle and bustle. Large carts pulled by oxen were being unloaded. There was a huge variety of products. There were stalls with fish, stalls with cheese, stalls with bread, and stalls with all sorts of vegetables. You could find fabric in many different colors and prints, and you could buy locally made pottery. There were also stalls with books, tools, candles, small farm animals, and all manner of domestic articles. Brave Hunter got off his horse and walked to one of the stallholders. "Could you please tell me where I can find the harbor?" he asked the man. "It is that way," the man pointed, "straight up the hill. You will see it when you reach the top. You can't miss it." Brave Hunter thanked the man, took the horse by its rein, and walked slowly up the hill. It started to become more crowded on the road as pedestrians and carriages made their way to the market. Women carried reed baskets, and men guided carts loaded with goods. When Brave Hunter stood on top of the hill, he could see the harbor below him. It was the largest harbor Brave Hunter had ever seen, hundreds of yards wide and long. At the far end of the harbor lay grand-looking galleons, rocking on the waves. Before them, a large number of smaller sailing ships lay anchored. The harbor itself was fully packed. Many small fishing boats were tied together. Brave Hunter saw men walking on the landings, carrying bread and other goods in their arms.